नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 3, Verse 7. It's a prose verse, so it's not written, so just read it. Atanaya pina bhavato ihayo rubhara bharaya samuchitam artam iho palabhamahe. Please repeat. Atan. Otherwise, anaya, this, api, even, na, not, bhavataha, of your exalted personality, ijaya, by performance of sacrifice, urubharo bharaya, encumbered by such paraphernalia. Samuchitam, required. Artam, use. Iha, here. Upalobhamahe, we can see. So the translation goes, we have engaged in your worship with many things and have offered sacrifices unto you. But we think that there is no need for so many arrangements to please your lordships. So please repeat. We have engaged in your worship with many things and have offered sacrifices unto you. But we think that there is no need for so many arrangements to please your lordships. So the purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Rupa Goswami says that if one is offered varied food but has no appetite, the offering has no value. In a big sacrificial ceremony, there may be many things accumulated to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if there is no devotion, attachment, or love for the Lord, the arrangement is useless. The Lord is complete in Himself, and He does not need anything from us. However, if we offer Him a little water, a flower, a tulasi leaf, He will accept them. Bhakti, devotional service, is the main way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not a question of arranging huge sacrifices. The priests were regretful, thinking that they were not on the path of devotional service and that their sacrifice was not pleasing to the Lord. We have engaged in your worship with many things and have offered sacrifices unto you. But we think that there is no need for so many arrangements to please your lordships. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jana Jana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militan Jena Tashmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So thank you very much for one more opportunity to share my very humble realizations. I'm just a student of the Shastra Chakshus program in the Gurukul. As an adult, I've been reforming myself into the philosophy, and I have been learning so much. My life has changed very much from this perspective. So we got a very few realizations on the way, and we'll try to share with such a learned assembly of Vaishnavas. So please correct me if needed, and I'm here to serve. It's a very important verse, because it's the center of our philosophy. It's the main point which connects everything which we do. And here, a great lineage of kings has been described. King Priyavrata has his descendants, and through his descendants you have their activities. And here, this king specifically being portrayed is Maharaj Nabi. Is that right? Yeah. That's his name. Yeah. And he is described as having a spotless character. In the previous verse, it was described that he had a spotless character. And this is a very important element, because what does it mean to have a spotless character for a king? The Srimad Bhagavatam defines that the first quality of a king is that he is a devotee. In the first canto, it's defined that the quality of a king is that he is a devotee. And his main business are two: to protect the Brahminical culture and to protect the cows. So with these two elements, he can protect the whole of the Vedic civilizations. Because within the Brahminical culture, you have the culture which defines what we do in the spiritual world. Because here, being a reflection, the Brahminical culture is what defines what you will do in the spiritual world. And the kings protecting that culture, they are giving the facilities which the living entities can go back to Godhead. That's what Maharaj Parikshit did when he expelled Kali from his kingdom. He's giving the facility so that the living entities can go back to Godhead. So that marriage between a very pious and spotless king and the protection of the Brahminical culture assures that Krishna consciousness will thrive. And that's what this king did. And you see that because he was protecting the Brahminical culture, he had priests which had the appropriate mood. So the Lord was so pleased by his mood that he appeared personally in the sacrificial arena. And when they were faced with the Lord's appearance, the priest had the appropriate mood to address the Lord. So the point here is relationship. An underlying relationship is bhakti. Because bhakti will define the touching point between the jivas and the Lord. That's the touching point. Yesterday, His Holiness Japataka Maharaj was giving a class in Bengali, and I had the good fortune to have a Bengali friend who translated for me. And he was describing many elements of bhakti. And he mentioned in his class something quite interesting. He said that Duryodhana prepared a big feast for Krishna, but Krishna was laughing, saying, "He's got no bhakti. I'll not take that." But Vidura, who was a poor man, he was offering banana peels, and Krishna was eating in ecstasy because of his mood. He wasn't really aware of what he was doing, but Krishna was so pleased. So this brings about a very interesting discussion, which is the situation which you are in and the mood which you do things in that situation. So usually in the material world, we think of the situation. If I have a nice house in Mayapur, right, all paid, I'll be very happy. But what do you do in that house? What's your mood? So that mood is defined by bhakti. And bhakti defines that it must be uninterrupted and unmotivated and to please the Lord. So once you take into account pleasing the Lord, naturally you want to please the Lord's creation. Isn't it right? If you like someone, you protect their friends, their belongings, you take care of that, of those things. You know, if you have a friend, he's traveling, someone is breaking his house, do you do something? Or you just stay, say, no, it's okay, it's just his karma, let it be. You protect it because there is some connection, there's some relationship. And that what Bhakti is defining. So once we acquire that perspective, then you can actually know the Lord. Because in Bhagavad Gita, in the last chapter, in the perfection of renunciation, there is verse 1855, which just says that. Krishna is saying, one can understand me as I am, as the personality of Godhead, only, and he puts only, by devotional service. So Krishna is very specific, only by devotional service. Because Krishna being everything, he has so many aspects, and the main three will be his Brahman aspect, his Paramatma aspect, and his Bhagavan aspect. These are the three main aspects which Prabhupada repeatedly tell us in his classes. You may be attracted to God as this universe, so that's his Brahman qualities. You may think it's very nice to be in a tropical country where coconuts grow, and you have such an abundance of fruits and such a nice climate, usually. But that's simply, you're just appreciating one aspect of God, which is the Brahman aspect. Right? So usually, most religions that we know in the West, they were mainly appreciating that aspect of God. Or you may go a little deeper and you go into the Paramatma aspect of God, and you start to see Him in your heart. You start to see Him personally. But it's not yet the person of God. You haven't yet shifted to that point where you're actually trying to please a person, which is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is Bhagavan. So this verse here is defining that you can only have access to that personality when your heart has shifted to that loving mood of pleasing that person. And that person cannot be pleased simply by saying, it's me and you. That will be the Kanista stage, when the devotee is thinking it's about me and the Lord, about no one else. As that matures, you start to see his energies, his associates, his friends, his dham, and your mentality maturing that way will just see everything connected to the Lord. And then that's when you come to the Madhyama platform. That's when you start to think about the others. And that's when Vaishnava starts to be successful. If you see any main project in ISKCON, it's successful because they have reached that mentality in the whole congregation. We talk a lot about Chaupati and his holy Radhanath Swami, and what he does is he borrows that mentality to the whole congregation. So everybody's thinking about the others, which is the quality of the Madhyama platform. Your compassion is to bring everyone back to Godhead. And that was the mood of Srila Prabhupada. He was in Vrindavan, very nicely situated in the Radha Damodar temple. Such a nice situation, looking at Rupa Goswami Samadhi. He could have stayed and find his Siddha Deha as His Holiness Bhaktichara Swami has just posted. But his mood was to travel to a very difficult place and to preach Krishna consciousness to others. So that's the mood of our Acharya. And actually, he's revealing how you get your Siddha Deha. That's how you do it. By actually going, extending yourself and preaching and developing that Madhyama platform, that's how you really know who you are in the spiritual world. Because Krishna will be pleased with you and then he will reveal. Because Krishna says it's not possible to know him. Not even Krishna knows himself. He's expanding, he's ever fresh. It's always, the gopis know Krishna forever, but every time they meet is as if they had never met Krishna before. And where does that come from? Krishna has this ever youthful situation. It's ever new, ever fresh. So even Krishna doesn't know what's going to happen in the next interaction. It's to come. So it's not possible for us, with such a tatastha shakti, such a tiny particle, one 10,000th of a hair, that's a sentence, right? Define our size, our measurement size, to know the unlimited. But if He wants to give us that knowledge in a very concise ship, He can just put everything in your understanding and you understand Him. So it's by His mercy. And the process is very simple. The process is to follow what His very dear devotees have done. His acharyas have passed through very carefully in this. Just imagine how many millions of liters of blood have circulated in the veins of so many acharyas, so that we are here in this moment, carrying the line of Srimad Bhagavatam. All that love, all that bhakti, so that we can at this moment contemplate and actually move forward towards Krishna. So that's the mood of our acharya. Srila Prabhupada, he's bringing that mood down so you can give it up. And actually Lord Chaitanya, in his mood of emptying the treasure house of love of God, I just heard, the more you empty, the more it fills up. It's like you take it, it's filled up again, you take it, it's filled up again. So if we take that duty of sharing the Krishna consciousness in whatever capacity and realm we have, the Lord will be pleased and reveal Himself, just like He has done here with Nabi Maharaj. And He's appeared personally to him. And as a result, His son, Rishabhadeva, will be born. So the priests are questioning, are we doing devotional service? Is this bhakti? We have such an elaborate situation. Verse 1 defines everything which had to be given in the sacrificial ceremony. And it's quite a long list. It's quite a long list. It's verse 3 actually, is it? No, wait. No, it's verse 2. Right? He says, by sacrificing valuable things or eatables, by acting in terms of place, by acting in terms of time, by offering hymns, by going through the priest, by offering gifts to the priests, and by offering the regulative principle. All of this was offered and much more. And their question, we have done so much, yet have we really given bhakti? Have we really given that devotion? But they're thinking like that because they're qualified, rather than thinking that we are so special, we've done everything according to scripture, therefore the Lord must appear, He must reciprocate. That's simply a karmakandi mentality. And that's why in many places you see the smartest following that rule. What they're doing is not bad, but they have missed the mood. The mood is to please the Lord. So if you have the mood but you don't have the facilities or the situation which matches the mood, that's also sentiment. I like to please the Lord, but I think learning shlokas is too complicated, or ayag is too complex, it's not for us, it's for another age. So you don't endeavor. That's also sentiment, because if you can, why not offer to the Lord? Isn't it? So these two things must match. If you have the mood, there is a situation which matches the mood to that. You see any famous person, they have a situation, but they have a mood which addresses that. A famous personality, an artist, a musician, a politician, they match. So as a devotee, we should strive to develop qualities. That's the situation. The qualities bring the facilities. Because if you're humble, you attract people. People donate, you have the facilities. If you're so incredible, nobody wants to share because you're already incredible. You don't need anything. But if you're humble, if you're sincere, if you're trying to please the acharyas, everybody wants to participate. Everybody wants to be part of what you're doing. Then it grows, it develops, community develops. So the point here is that must match the mood and the situation. Another example in history, just learned before class, a very nice example. There was a man, a devotee in Jagannath Puri, who always brought water to the temple. But he never took darshan. And he did that all his life. And when he passed away, nobody knew him. So it's the point where you offer something, but you do works, but there's no devotion. And that happens so often in history. If you take the Jews, for example, the Jews had the ritual down to the point. It was there. But they had lost the mood. So Jesus comes into action and he says, your rituals are okay, but the mood is not right. You should do everything to please God. And then you have disciples like Paul, which takes to the other extreme. No, if you offer something to God, but there's no devotion, it has no meaning. So from that, the evolution is, so you don't need to do anything. Works has no value. You need faith. You accept this person, done. But how do you express your devotion if it's not through action, deeds, devotional service to the Lord? So that's why no one can know Krishna without devotional service. Because devotional service is the means which expresses your mood of devotion to the Lord. It's a combination between the mood and the facilities and what you have. So that combination is what the acharya brings. And that balance is bhakti. Because you have devotion, you have the mood, but you have the facilities. So in temples you have people fired up. I made 100 life members. But do they just want to come and have a nice holiday on your guest house? Or do they want to come and learn the philosophy, learn the science, contribute, be part of the family? And is it just a scheme that I can now stay free in many temples? And it's, if I made my counting, if I pay hotel, it's that much, but if I be a life member. Do you understand? So it's not about number, it's about the mood. So you make a life member which wants to contribute to the mission. He wants to be part of the mission. Not only that, his life, he wants to dedicate to the mission. He doesn't just want to give like 30 lakhs, 50 lakhs, 100 lakhs. He wants to give his life. How much is the life worth? So how many trillions of lakhs are sitting here? How much is that worth? Can we measure? So that's a great asset to Krishna that's so valuable. So it's not about numbers. It's about a combination of numbers and devotion. There must be a nice combination. If you make a preparation like a cake and you put 10 kilos of ghee and 1 kilo of wheat, it won't work. The combination must be in place. After some time you discover it didn't work. So we must be very attentive. So in Christianity it has just created such a trend that you have now millions of followers who believe that I accepted. My acharya has made a sacrifice. He has died on the cross for me. Now I'm done. My sacrifice is given. I've accepted him. I'm okay. Because he accepted. I have faith. That sentiment. Or on the other hand, you may have a smarta who says, I can do everything perfect. There's not an error. And here, that's the regret of the priest. They might be thinking, we are too ritualistic, but our love may be lost. So we want to make sure that we are pleasing the Lord. Just like he's saying, Advaita Acharya, simply by offering Ganga Jal and a Tulsi leaf to Shalagram Shila, he brought Lord Gauranga down. That's quite major. So devotion is something very important, but it follows a mood. It follows a facility, it follows a structure, a situation which the devotion can be situated in. And in Ekalavya's class on 2 days ago, he was so enthusiastic about the holy names. I was actually inspired. And he mentioned the pastime where the Shilas of Gopal Bhatta Goswami just manifested in Radharaman. It's incredible. His appearance day was yesterday, but this pastime keeps coming. I couldn't stop by saying this. It's like 3 days where you're mentioning the same element. It must be because Krishna likes this part of history, Vaishnava history. Shila just manifests into Radharaman. And not only Radharaman manifested, but Radharaman has all the features which are exactly like Krishna. He has the feet, the chest, and the face of Krishna. Krishna just decided to manifest because his devotion was so strong. that Krishna manifested that situation, the deity form, that you could appreciate it. So, from devotion, everything can be manifested. But on the other end, the facility needs to go in the direction of devotion. So if you take the king, all he was worried about was protecting the citizens so that they could have devotion to worship God. So the management must be thinking, how I can protect the devotees so they will come to the pure stage of bhakti. And the devotees are thinking, how can I contribute to the management so the whole project will increase and facilitate more jivas to go back to Godhead. So that's the dynamic balance between facility and devotion, between the masculine and the feminine. That principle is present everywhere, in everything. And if we understand that, we can experience Krishna fully, everywhere, anywhere. Because it's not about the situation, it's about your interaction with the Lord as Bhagavan, as a personality. That's what Gopal Bhatta Goswami did. That's what Advaita Acharya was pointing out. And that's the lament of these priests, that they may not have taken that full devotion to the Lord. And by doing that, we should be very attentive, and that was Manoharas Prabhu's point, on our sadhana. Because he said, the first thing I heard in this movement, I'm not this body. And now, after so many years, he's the leader man of the GBC, so our senior authority, saying, I'm still contemplating how this point is so deep and profound, and perhaps the deepest point. Because actually this point means when you change your identity to, if I'm not the body, I must be the servant of the Lord. Of course, there's a neutral stage in between where you can think you're just spiritual. So that's a neutral. You can be liberated but not allowed into the spiritual world. That's the positive when you actually take bhakti and take devotional life. So by hearing so many realized acharyas, we see how the balance is important. And something which called my attention in his speech, I may not feel ecstasy when I'm in the GBC meetings, the exact ecstasy. But I remember the moments when I was in the kirtans or in a festival, and that ecstasy just was so contagious that it kept me remembering the Lord. And I had an interesting experience on a train, a local train coming from Calcutta to Navadvip. I was a lot of luggage by the door, and a gentleman called me like this, and he had some friends. And it's very, you know, like Bengali trains are very full. A seat for three, there were four, and he said I could sit, so I sat in a little corner, and they were talking. And then I had a huge suitcase, I said, bring it in, and we brought it in, and we started developing a relationship, a conversation. And during the conversation, he revealed to be a Vaishnava, and he told me something. He said, you know, we must desire to surrender to Krishna fully in this life. And he kept repeating about three or four times, in this life. And then he closed his eyes and he started chanting. He just went inside and started chanting holy names. He was a businessman. So I joined him because, I mean, he was leading after such an instruction. I just joined him. And I started chanting. So for an hour, we just chanting, you know, chanting. Everybody was kind of looking aside, what are these two men doing? And we were chanting and doing a little Harinam, silent Harinam on the train. And then when we were reaching Navadvip, three stations before, he just looked at me and said, I'm so blessed to have met you. I'm truly blessed. Because you are trying to satisfy your master. I mean, he assumed that because he saw my clothes, I think, right? And then he said, and never anyone sat with me and chanted Harinam. And you did. And it was so, so incredible. I feel so happy in my heart. And I said, so please bless me that can I always chant the holy names. And I said, no, you bless. And so it was like that. He was saying these things like Bengalis like to do. And he was extremely grateful. And I started remembering and thinking about that situation. And it deepened my contemplation about what I came to do here in this place. Why did Krishna bring me here? And when I talked to these gentlemen from India, I can see what an impact it has on them that a Westerner is chanting the holy names, is desiring to go back to Godhead in this life. And they're actually instructing us to do so. So that was a very interesting thing, because many times I sometimes get annoyed by some inconvenience of weather, of overcrowd or something like this. But I was just reminded what Krishna brought me here for. Why Srila Prabhupada brought me here for? Just by seeing their appreciation, and I'm sure you have so much realization on that. How Westerners, which came from a background which had no clue whatsoever about what is bhakti, about the Dham, about the holy name, of the sweetness of bhakti, how Prabhupada made us come here and actually inspire people who were born into the culture but are getting a little distracted from it. They're just forgetting their own culture. That's the complaint I get from them over and over. We are forgetting our own culture. We can't stop that. It's happening. Somehow we have to do something. They don't know what to do. And Prabhupada has given the formula. And they see the formula working on us. So why wouldn't it work on them, who's got all the pious credit to be born in India? Why wouldn't it work on them? So that's what keeps ticking in their heads. That's my thought. That's what I think. So, to finalize, Prana Prabhu, a teacher, taught me you should end on a sweet tooth. I'll just read a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. After all these dynasties of kings are described, and many more are being described, the activities of Rishabhadeva will be described, then the universe is being described and the hellish planets is described. So when Parikshit Maharaj hears about the hellish planet, the punishments, he's asking, so what is there for the living entities who are so diverted in Kali Yuga? I mean, they're just, if you just read the punishment, it's just such a extreme line of punishment that you just fall into so many categories of punishments that you just say, well, what hope is there? So he's making this question. And then the story of Jamil comes up as a story to position the holy name in the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. And there's a verse from this, a Jamila delivered by the Vishnu Dutta, which says, one who chants the holy names of the Lord is immediately freed from the reaction of unlimited sins, even if he chants indirectly to indicate something else, jokingly, for music and entertainment. All these new bhajaneers in the yoga studios, or even neglectfully. This is accepted by all the learned scholars of the scriptures as chanting of the holy name, as deliverance into the Lord. So what he's saying here is that the holy name is so potent that if you connect to the mood, even indirectly, down the line, you come to pure light, to pure bhakti. And in this case, the king's priests didn't have to worry about that because they were already in the right mood, guided by their perfect king, Nabi. So if you have a king which sets the example in the right mood, all the citizens just naturally follow. So I think I'd like to end here to give just a little space for comments, corrections, or questions. Prabhuji, is there a mic?
Hare Krishna. Generally, we think that it's not good to hear from professional speakers like that. You mentioned kirtaneers that maybe working for some profit adoration distinction. So, but even that has effect. This is kind of a conundrum. Sometimes we're told, no, there's not a good effect. It actually can be milk touched by the lips of a serpent, or it can also be totally advantageous, just as Ajamil was chanting at the end of his life. So how do we perceive which is which? Which is beneficial and which is perhaps deviant or not beneficial?
Thank you, bro. That's a beautiful question. Actually, that clarifies a bit this verse. You see, bhakti is pure and independent, and it cannot be acquired by karma or jnana. Bhakti is completely free, and it's given by the devotees of the Lord. So, a person who is a professional reciter of the Bhagavatam, he cannot give that benefit because he's not accepted by Bhakti Devi. So that's deviant. That has no direct effect. That's why Srila Prabhupada compares that to the poison, or the milk touched by the poison of a snake, because it will create a lot of confusion in your head. At the same time, having contact, even if a person has deviated, has already deviated, right? You cannot choose anymore. The person has already deviated. That contact will have an effect later on. So the holy name is so powerful that even if it's not now, it will have an effect. You don't know how many lifetimes after, but that will have an effect. Now, beneficial is only when it comes down through the parampara, because that's the only line which can carry the chit potency of the Lord. If the chit potency is not there, it cannot deliver. But being so potent, the holy name itself, you have contact, you don't get the benefit, but you get some kind of connection with Krishna as a person, and that connection will manifest sometime over perhaps millions of lives, or you know how, when. So that's why the acharyas, they're very careful to avoid the association of people who are deviating. You know, even if you go to Puri, in the Samadhi of Haridas Thakur, which is the Namacharya, they chant a mantra which is not authorized, right? So, I mean, that's there. But the name doesn't lose its potency.
Interesting story in terms of this idea of chanting constantly. There was one Babaji, Krishnadas Babaji, Prabhupada's godbrother, and he was chanting all the time, constantly. And he left his body, very interesting. He was criticized for going to see a Sahajiya play. In Vrindavan they have a lot of Sahajiya plays. And so he went to see this play. And one devotee criticized him. Oh, Maharaj, you've gone to see this Sahajiya play. As a result of that, and I'm not sure that it was his habit to see these plays or what. He enjoyed them, though. He enjoyed it. As a result of that criticism, he fasted till death. And that's actually how he left his body. He stopped eating. So can you explain that situation?
Yeah. Let's say you are in a PhD level, right? And you decide that, you know, kindergarten is great. Just throwing the toys around is great. So that's not the best situation to be in. So you will be criticized. You can do so much. Why are you back there doing that? So for someone who has no clue of bhakti, who is just wondering a very sinful reaction, that contact with Krishna, even perverted, will have some effect in some millions of life ahead. But if he, who has already the chit potency going through him and he can actually deliver it, he goes back, that's not a very intelligent step. Actually, he can be contaminated. And because when you receive, let's say you receive a big quantity of money, like the lottery, most people lose it. Why? Because they don't have the mentality of keeping the money. Do you understand? So the money comes, you receive the money, but you can't use it, you can't invest it, you can't do the things that money need to be done, because you don't have the culture of money. So you spend it off in the first year. Second year, you're just poorer than you were before. So a person who has bhakti, he has the facility, has the structure, he is capable of dealing with money, he is dealing with investing, and he's wasting, contaminating himself, that's not a big business. But if someone who has no idea gets in contact with whatever forms of Krishna, energies of Krishna, in some moment, he might have some benefit. I'm not suggesting that that's an authorized way. I'm just saying that the holy name is so potent, it doesn't lose its potency anywhere, but the chit potency does not pass through. That's why on the yoga studio, you can chant Hare Krishna, but you won't get the benefits of the chit potency. That's where the knowledge comes in. And that's only the guru can do that bridge. He is the bridge to carry the chit potency. So if you're not connected to guru, Shastra and Sadhu, you can't have that chit potency. But the holy name doesn't lose its potency.
So you're taking the position of the critic who criticized Krishnadas Babaji, and you're amplifying or explaining very well the mentality of the critic, but and also you're explaining the fault of the advanced devotee. But is there some way to see that this is not a fault, but rather a pastime or some kind of means of leaving the planet? Simply you make a mistake and you, in a sense, overreact in terms of your own self-imposed punishment?
I just dealt with the holy name part, the part of the critic, which is the other side. It's very dangerous to judge the mind of a pure devotee. The scriptures deal with that. And if this person was not in the position to judge, then he'll have to deal with the consequences and the reactions for doing that. Now, if you see the father of Nabi Maharaj, he was already renounced, and he then decided to have some facilities, and he met Apsara and they started enjoying. That was the previous chapter, right? And Maharaj Parikshit is asking, well, but how come? He was already in a liberated position, and then he again is taking that aspect of the kingdom and the enjoyment and everything. And in answer to that, Shukadeva Goswami answers that he's doing that out of devotional service. So his mentality was to please the Lord, so it was a pastime. It was Maharaj Agnidra. Right in the beginning of the chapter, it's summarized that, if you just see here, yeah. Sorry, I may be... Just a moment. I'm not too sure. Was it him or it was his father, Priyavrata Maharaj, who accepted... Priyavrata, I think it's Priyavrata Maharaj, yeah. Yeah, that was Priyavrata. I'm sorry, it was Maharaj Priyavrata. I just read this. Yeah? So, he, Maharaj Priyavrata, was already doing austerities, and he accepted the kingdom. And here, Maharaj Parikshit is asking why he did that. In response to the king's inquiry, Shukadeva Goswami said that devotional service, being transcendental, cannot be deviated by any material influences. Priyavrata had received transcendental knowledge from the instructions of Narada, and therefore he did not want to enter a materialistic life of enjoyment in a kingdom. So in the case of Maharaj Priyavrata, his activities were not with the mood of enjoyment. He was in the situation, but his mood was devotional. In the case you brought up, I haven't read that. I'm not familiar with the situation. But I can say that the holy name is completely potent in all situations. And the holy name will always have its full power. Just like Krishna is present now, he hasn't left, but he's not manifest. He's his manifest Lila is not here, but he's here. It's not that Krishna is less something or he's not present. He's fully present. Now, if a very senior Vaishnava goes back to a situation which is not advised, like seeing Sahajas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very strict on that, because your mentality may get contaminated. And that's the danger pointed out. So, if that was helpful. Okay. One more question. It's time, so I think I'll follow the example of Ekalavya. If anyone wants to leave, and then we'll have like 5 more minutes for one more question, it's okay, you may leave. And we'll have one more question, because there's prasadam and there's life to go on. So, yes.
Hare Krishna, okay. Thank you very much for a nice class. Generally, we joined ISKCON, or we came ISKCON to develop our love, to develop our bhakti. But few days later, our love divert another way. We love so many another things, just like house, money, another things. So my question is, what kinds of bhakti is it?
Okay, very good question.
Why our...
His question is, we join ISKCON with the pure motive of loving Krishna, but down the road, we start loving so many other things. Our house, our wife, our car, our job, our position, right? Yeah. Very good question. Actually, that's the nature of things. In His Holiness Japataka Maharaj class, there was one question by Nityananda Maharaj, saying, what can we do to protect the brahmacharis? Because I've been here for 2 years and so many have married. And Japataka Maharaj responded that, so many join the brahmachari ashram, but only very few will be lifelong brahmacharis. This is a very special situation. So the desires in your heart have to be dealt with accordingly, because the desires are there. So your mind, the mind is real, but it's not you. Our mistake is to either we reject the mind, it's not real, right? Or we accept the mind is me. So we need to understand that the mind is a real energy. Actually, the mind is what holds the whole creation together. All the other elements are held by mind, which is the mode of goodness. That's what holds everything together. But it's not me. So if the desires are there, you have to understand the desires exist, but it's not you. So you're going to deal with them according to what Krishna recommends. And if you do that, in the end of your life, you go back to Godhead. If you don't, you may have to stay a few more houses to realize that. My daughter made a very interesting game called Life, and she's 7. So she started putting like houses, and she put, you are in grade 1, 2, and then you go to college, and then you hear about ISKCON, you join ISKCON, and then just a few houses, she just put like 6 things. You did some gambling, go back 5 houses. You intoxicate yourself, go back 5 houses. You did bad activities, and then like this. We're trying to play, we couldn't reach because she put so many things, and then every time we got there, go back 5. And then finally we passed that Anathanivritti stage in the game, and we are playing the dice, and then you preach, go ahead 5, and then you go 5. Now go 2 more, and then you reach a place and it says, oh, you spoke badly to a Vaishnava, go back 4. And then there was the mad elephant house, be born again. And you start the game all over again. And I said, oh, Krishna, it just took me about 30 minutes to get through another Nivritti. I couldn't. Every time you did a bad activity, go back. And oh my God, I was throwing like this. It was a really interesting game. But the desires are there. But if you deal them like Krishna suggests, then you go back to Godhead. Otherwise, you keep going back like that, the game.
So what is the easy process?
The Sahaj process. The easy process means that you follow very strictly what the Guru has said. Sadhana Bhakti process. And Sadhana Bhakti will mature into Raganoga Bhakti, and then you go back to Godhead. That's the easy process. Chant 16 rounds, follow 4 regulative principles under your spiritual master, take only prasadam, associate with the Vaishnavas, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, live in the Dham. That's the easy process.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Okay? Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Guru. Thank you for the kitchen. It's beautiful, right? I saw your kitchen. I was inspired the other day. That's